And now, the Low Post.
Welcome to the Woj and Low Trade Deadline Special. We are 22 hours from the NBA trade deadline. I'm Zach Lowe. This is ESPN Insider Extraordinaire, Adrian Wojnarowski. We are ready to go. Let's not waste any time. Let's start at the very top of the league. How's that sound?
Let's do it, Zach. The Bucks.
The 43-7 Milwaukee Bucks. Normally a team 43-7 would not really need to do anything. They have the best record in the NBA. It's not close. They also have Giannis Antetokounmpo's free agency in a year, but the Supermax offer this summer bearing down on them. How much pressure are they under after losing four straight in the conference finals last year to go all in now?
Well, there's no question, especially with Giannis's free agency hovering over them. They would love this summer to get an extension done and not have that year of uncertainty heading into 2021 when he could be unrestricted. The best chance they have of securing that, win a championship this year.
And the same thing, you want to make him in play as a free agent, beat Milwaukee in the playoffs. I thought they might make a play for Robert Covington. The price ended up being too high. The guy that, if they want to do something, the guy that all of these teams are calling about is Dante DiVincenzo. The Bucks love Dante DiVincenzo. If they package him, that Indiana pick that they own, and some filler salary, they could get someone maybe with more experience. But I don't sense that they are risk averse, right? They're worried about their chemistry.
There's no question, and that's, I think, the quandary they're in, because this is a team that is running roughshod over the league.
They love each other. When I say worried about their chemistry, I mean they don't want to mess up what they – it's perfect right now.
That's right. And so they're really particular about who they introduce to that group and also who they take out of it. This is a team right now that, you know, they could be the team in a buyout market where there's a specialist out there after the trade deadline who can fill a specific need for them. But I think this is a team, and you said it, risk averse is a term I've heard there, but they've been active and they're talking and they're looking, where can we help this team? If they could bring in more shooting, Mike Budenholzer never has enough shooting, but that is at such a premium in the league. What it would cost you to bring in a player who could impact in that way, they're probably not willing to pay right now.
You put a knockdown 40% shooter next to Giannis, it's like a super elixir, and that's true. But the more interesting, if you had to break down the league into three top contenders, it's Milwaukee and the LA team. So let's go to LA. The Lakers and the Clippers are in a little bit of a standoff right now with 22. Are you going to do something? Or are you going to do something? And it concerns Andre Iguodala, Marcus Morris, and I think the Lakers are on the hunt for a ball handler if those other two options don't pan out. Maybe they get one of each. One gets Andre, one gets Marcus Morris. What's going to happen? Start with the Lakers. What are we hearing?
Yeah, and one more. Darren Collison, who may return to the NBA sometime in February. There's no question. Each is kind of looking warily at the other, because it's not just if you get a player of need, you're keeping it from the other team. This is a true arms race. In LA, they're competing in every way. They did in free agency this summer. They're going to probably do it maybe in the conference finals to get to the NBA finals. But I think Iguodala is a player both teams hope doesn't get traded and somehow gets a buyout in Memphis. Now, Memphis is insisting that is not
all
going
along
to happen. I think the Lakers have shown a little more inclination to get involved and perhaps a trade for Iguodala, but they haven't gotten down the road with that. So him and then Marcus Morris in New York, that's another player both teams the last couple days have really been probing for, and then trying to get a sense of what's the other guy doing, what's the other guy willing to offer, how far should we go? And they're doing that all over the league with available players.
The Clippers have more to offer in terms of draft picks. The Lakers can't functionally trade a first round pick right now. However, the Lakers do have Kyle Kuzma, and that's the lever. Like, they like Kyle Kuzma. He's a good young player, but that's the only way they get into some of these conversations. We've heard him floated for lots of different guys, including not Marcus Morris, not Andre Iguodala, but point guard types, right?
Yeah. And here's the hard part of trading, Kyle Kuzma. He is still on his rookie contract. He makes just over $2 million a season. And so if you're trading him for an established veteran player, he's probably making maybe six, seven, eight times that. How do you stack up the contracts to make the money work without cutting into your depth with the Lakers and impacting your roster? And the guy you're getting maybe doesn't do enough to help your team to justify it. But they are in an absolute win-now mode. So aren't the Clippers. And if they think they could upgrade on Kuzma and even understand, listen, we may regret trading him in 3 or 4 years when he's fully developed. We need to know we can count on this guy. We can put him on the floor in endgame situations, in the playoffs, in the NBA finals. I don't know if they think that's who he is yet.
And we've heard it, not just Iguodala and Marcus Morris, but, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, Dennis Schroeder, I think that they've made some calls on. So we'll see where they end up. And the Marcus Morris thing got more interesting on many levels yesterday with the Knicks removing their president of basketball operations and apparently changing course. But also, the Wolves getting two first-round picks effectively for Robert Covington, I think, has the Knicks saying, okay, see, Marcus Morris, maybe we think is better than Robert Covington. That's the asking price. And then you have the counter being, well, Marcus Morris is on an expiring contract. Robert Covington has 3 years left. These things all get very dicey toward the end.
And the Clippers thought they were going to get a deal with Morris this summer. He moved on, committed to the Spurs, and then ended up with the Knicks. One thing the Clippers have not done, my sense is they won't do, is put Landry Shamet in a trade to the Clippers or to the Knicks. That's who New York wants, but I've been told Shamet is off limits in those talks.
Interesting. Shamet off limits. I mean, that could be a centerpiece of the package. And I guess I get the inclination is that the Knicks are open for shopping, I guess, now.
Absolutely. And I think that changed when the regime changed. I think ownership, and whoever is in ownership's ear right now. And there's a lot of people, who have access to Jim Dolan, who have opinions. But one thing that did change was the idea of trying to re-sign Marcus Morris to a longer deal this summer. The plan now is let's see what we can get for him in terms of a draft pick, perhaps a young player, before Thursday's deadline.
Interesting. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the Houston Rockets, a team that actually already made a trade, the Philadelphia 76ers, and some other swing teams. And there are a lot of swing teams right now. We don't quite know exactly what they're going to do, but it's going to be a fun next 22 hours. We'll talk about it next. This weekend, our NBA Saturday primetime game is a strictly West Coast affair. LeBron, AD, and the first place Lakers are at the Chase Center to face the Warriors. Our coverage tips with The Jump at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ABC, and you can always watch both on the ESPN app from anywhere.
Listen to the Woj Pod, new episodes every week. Listen on the ESPN app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring can be challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. Those are all good things. And growing businesses use it to connect to qualified candidates. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. It sounds like an important job. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost. The name of this podcast, free, is as cheap as it gets. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It proactively finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. The thing is doing work for you, so you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting that job to ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed by how quickly great candidates were applying, and he found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's 80%. If you shoot that from the foul line, you're doing well. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes and try it for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOWEPOST. Welcome back to the Woj Low Trade Deadline Special. We actually had a trade, a four-team, 12-player trade.
4-team, 12-player trade.
Whew, I'm tired already thinking about that. The centerpiece was the Rockets, I think, acquiring Robert Covington in exchange for Clint Capella, and a bunch of other things happened. It's a really interesting trade by the Rockets, trading their only playable center, the only one getting any rotation minutes lately. What does it tell us about what this team thinks of itself and where it's going now?
Well, in a lot of ways, listen, this could be the last stand of Coach Mike D'Antoni. He's in the last year of his contract. They broke off talks about an extension. And in a lot of ways, you just see Mike D'Antoni going all in on what he believes in, their system. And same with Daryl Morey, the GM. I mean, they have a lot of very similar thoughts about pushing the limits of this game. In a lot of ways, both of them have innovated of what the modern NBA looks like. And they're going to go small, and they value the idea of that 3-and-D player in Robert Covington, a wing, over a center in Clint Capella. that more than one executive in the West said to me, thank God Clint Capella's out of the West.
Out of the West.
He's in the East. We're glad he wasn't traded somewhere else in our conference.
Well, I think it's interesting because swapping Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook traded it's changed everything about the fabric of this team. And they've just concluded, look, Russ is not a three-point shooter anymore. He's not a jump shooter. We can't have two guys who can't shoot on the floor. It just doesn't work. So we're going to just go all in on if we have to trade big for small, we'll do that. Now, they're 15th in defense as things stand now. That's not good enough. And I don't know how they're going to get good enough with this roster. That's they're counting on turnovers and pace. And if you try to offensive rebound against us and you don't get it, bam, we're running out with Russ. Okay, that's great. To win the NBA title, which is the goal here, you know that this ownership group is not going to be, you know, satisfied with losing in the second round or something. You got to play defense, and that's where the rubber is going to meet the road for these guys. Yeah. A team that was supposed to be a historically great defense, the Philadelphia 76ers are 31-20. They're sixth in the East. I don't care how awkward the fit is, how much time it was going to take, how many injuries they've had, and they've had some. Josh Richardson is hurt now. That is a disappointment. Al Horford voiced some comments today that I think are being sensationalized a little bit about how we've got to call some people out in the locker room or some such thing. What's going to happen here? Can they do anything at the deadline, or is this a wait and see how they do in the playoffs kind of thing?
I mean, Zach, short of making a wholesale trade of one of their elite core max players, which there's been no suggestion they're ready to do that. You know, even Al Horford, who's still trying to figure out how to play with that group, what his role is, what they need from him. The feeling in Philly is we need Al Horford to beat the Bucks. We need his size. We need to be big against them. And so you look around the periphery on their roster, the Mike Scotts, the Zaire Smiths, a first round pick. It's not going to bring back much. And we talk about it's a team that needs shooting. They really have missed JJ Redick. They knew they wouldn't be able to afford to keep him, but everybody, we said it earlier, every contender would love to add shooting. They will be outbid pretty much by anybody out there. In terms of a guy who can really help them, they're going to have their savior is going to have to be internally. And what worries you about that team, Zach, and Brett Brown uses this word a lot, the spirit of it. It's not just that they play poorly.
It's sagging right now.
They don't compete. They don't look like they enjoy playing with each other. There are a lot of reasons to be concerned about this.
You can't let Jimmy Butler, the guy you let go away, just whip you three times now this season. We've all heard almost no chance any of the starters or Matisse Thybulle are getting traded. So again, the solution is going to have to come within. And by the way, I do think they match up well with the Bucks as well as you can match up with the 43-7 team. It's the Raptors, the Pacers, the Celtics, all those teams that, you know, you got to get by those teams too. And then they're going to have to play better. Let's get into some swing teams that can really dictate how this market unfolds. And I think the most obvious one is Oklahoma City, filled with veterans, Steven Adams, Danilo Gallinari, already mentioned Schroeder. Chris Paul, I think, is probably untradeable with that contract. Those guys are coveted. They're good players. What's the sense of Oklahoma City as we bear down on the deadline here?
Sam Presti is, you know, essentially telling people, come with your best offers. You know, they have almost one of everything. You want a combo guard, you got Dennis Schroeder, you got a forward in Danilo Gallinari, you got a starting level center in Steven Adams, who's a winning player, there's teams with some needs in the middle. Atlanta, by trading for Capella, they're off the board for Adams. You know, and essentially they're saying is we can go into the summer and keep these guys. We could do sign and trade for Gallinari, or you know, we could move him now if we get a deal we like. But this team is probably overachieved. Billy Donovan, I think, is a coach of the year candidate in the NBA. I think in that city, that community, they've really enjoyed this team. And Chris Paul is playing some of his best basketball in years. And so I think they're open for business. It's possible they do one deal. It's possible they do multiple deals or none, but they don't feel a pressure that they have to do anything.
I would love them to go the other way. Buy, get a quality wing in there, and that's a team that nobody wants to see in the playoffs.
And they've made those calls too.
Love it. That's what I want. Let's get to Miami because Miami, I think, is better than they anticipated being. And when they see a window.
You called it on Miami.
I'm wrong about a lot of stuff. I was right on that one. And you know Pat Riley. When he sees a window, he is going to punch his fist through it as hard as he can to try and get in there. They have Justice Winslow, who's injured, and we don't really know when he's coming back. They have a couple of expirings. Trading a pick is difficult for them, but you know they're going to try and do something. Is there anything out there?
I think they are still very much a sleeper team for Andre Iguodala in Memphis. Woo! I mean, it fits them perfectly. If he fits their DNA. I think that's a team to continue to watch between now and 3 o'clock on Thursday. Another thing to keep in mind with Miami is they make deals. They want to keep some cap flexibility, some space for 2021 when there's a certain potential free agent from Milwaukee named Giannis Antetokounmpo. Pat Riley will always be big game hunting. That's the biggest game on the horizon.
And they, I think they would have liked to have gotten in on Jrue Holiday, but they're not. I would be very surprised if they traded Tyler Hero or any of young player that of that level or better to get in that conversation.
And so far, New Orleans has signaled they are not interested in moving Jrue Holiday before the trade deadline.
We'll talk about some other swing teams when we get back, including the teams that are still getting over Kawhi Leonard and one that just fired its president of basketball operations. Come back and hang with us. Welcome back to the Woj Low Trade Deadline Special, and let's talk about the rollicking race for the number 8 seed in the Western Conference currently being held by the Memphis Grizzlies.
You used to have to win like 47, 48 games to get in the playoffs in the West, not anymore.
And yet, 7-8 in the West, still way better than 7-8 in the East. The Spurs are trailing that race. They have a 22-year consecutive playoff streak, tied for the longest ever. They also have some veterans who may or may not have trade value in LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, and Rudy Gay, and a bunch of young players kind of waiting in the wings. No one quite knows what the Spurs are ever going to do. They rarely make trades at this time of year. What's the sense?
Well, the sense that I've gotten with the Spurs is, you know, they have really put up on their board all the different scenarios, some of which include liquidating everybody. How many young assets and picks could we get for our veteran players, or let's go out and try to improve this team and get in the playoffs. But, you know, they have explored deals with DeMar DeRozan, with LaMarcus Aldridge. I think Rudy Gay, there's not a lot of value out there for him right now. But they've asked for a lot from teams. And those are two players who, you know, any contender might have some interest in. You know, DeRozan can opt out of his deal. You know, he's looking for a big extension. Aldridge is signed through next season. But the sense now, I think, is they'll probably go forward with these guys and then address it in the offseason. Even if DeMar DeRozan was going to leave in free agency, they could still work a sign and trade, get something for him. But it feels like they still would like to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they would. They're proud of that streak, and they should be proud of that streak. It's meaningful. It means something. We compete. It's not just win or bust in the NBA, title or bust. It means something to make the playoffs. DeRozan is kind of like the guard Andre Drummond, where the rest of the league is like, that player option kind of freaks us out. It's a lot of money. Do we think his old school game kind of drives winning as much as we need it to? And Aldridge, they made, I thought, a puzzling decision to guarantee his contract for next season at a big number, whereas if they wanted to trade him when it was partially guaranteed, it was, I think, more attractive. So we'll see. Let's talk about the team that they traded Kawhi Leonard to, the defending champion Toronto Raptors, second in the East, 37-14, I think. Just an absolute remarkable story. A thrill to watch, a really fun team to watch. And by the way, I think they're real. Yeah. I don't see why they're any less real than Boston, Indiana, Philadelphia, you name it in the East. And I'll tell you this, they're not afraid of the Bucks. They respect the Bucks, but they're not afraid of them.
This is such a tough-minded veteran team with a young star in Pascal Siakam who just gets better and better, went from most improved player to an all-star this year, a max player, and they want to get him in the playoffs. They want to get him more reps in the postseason. Before the year, you thought, well, maybe at the trade deadline, Marcus Saul, Serge Ibaka, who are going to be free agents, maybe they might look to move them. No way. They want to add players. Those are players they could re-sign in the offseason. And what Masai Ujiri has shown you with his front office, the idea of trading for some late first-round pick, they can get undrafted players who get in the rotation, a rookie Terrence Davis. Pascal Siakam was the end of the first round. They don't need your first round picks to
your bad ones. Yeah, they don't need your low first round
to pick. harvest the world for talent. They are all in, and again, another team you don't want to play in this postseason.
If they could find a way to not, everyone talked about selling those players for assets. If they could find a way to buy, if they could get one more shooter, that becomes a really dangerous team. They can make a real run to try and defend its title. I just don't know how they do that without putting OG Anunoby in a deal. That's the asset that swings it. And Masai Ujiri is as sharp as they come. And his trade record suggests he doesn't put young players that talented into deals. He waits until he can get things at the price he wants. Speaking of Masai Ujiri, he is much rumored to be James Dolan's everything of choice to run the New York Knicks now that the Knicks have a little vacuum of power at the top. What's happening with them at the deadline, and are they willing Can they get Masai Ujiri? And by the way, if I'm Masai Ujiri, for whoever's running that team, I want to make this draft pick they have coming up, and I want to pick the coach, right?
Well, no question. And I think the whole question for Jim Dolan is, who does he want? What kind of autonomy does he want to give? Here's what he has not done in any of his recent searches. Maybe back to Donnie Walsh, who was the most accomplished executive who had had a sterling NBA career as a GM. He's not said, I'm going out into the marketplace and I'm going to find the best available, credible, accomplished executive to come to the New York Knicks. He's not done that. And it is still a question this time if he's going to do that. He's got some interest in the agent community. And the sense that I've gotten is, as much as he's coveted Masai Ujiri, the hurdles that it would take to get there from draft compensation to Toronto allowing him out of his contract to Masai wanting to do this, he seems that he has lost his desire to go forward and chase that. And you always wonder about the process and the people Jim Dolan listens to when he makes these important hires for the Knicks.
I can't believe we're still talking about this, that we're still having these conversations about that. They're going to have to go out and get someone with experience, with a track record. I think Masai would be perfect there. I think he would do a great job there. And, you know, we'll see.
Exactly. There's any number of top executives in the NBA, for as dysfunctional as New York has been, they would line up for the chance to run the Knicks and try to do it at Madison Square Garden.
Well, back to the trade deadline when we come back. We'll talk about players we would like to see and deals we would like to see. Let's speak it into existence like LaVar Ball. Welcome back to the Woj Low Deadline Special. It's time to speak things into existence. Our wish list, our trade deadline wish list, not reporting, not anything with sources, just stuff we'd like to see happen. I'm going to start with Orlando. I have a little fetish for the Orlando Magic. They're 22-28, disappointing after their successful season last year. I think it's time for Aaron Gordon to be on another team. They keep squeezing him in as a wing. It's not working. I want to see him go somewhere where he can be a power forward and in floor spacing and be a little bit of a playmaker. And also, I'm puzzled. It's interesting to me we haven't heard anything on Evan Fournier, who's a good player on an expiring contract, who is going to cost a lot of money to re-sign.
Well, Gordon's a player they've listened to. They've had some conversations, but it's going to take a lot for them to move him, especially in a year where they lost Jonathan Isaac, who is playing, you know, the best basketball of his career.
And Al-Farouq Aminu.
They'd still like to be in the playoffs.
And they should. I mean, again, playoffs have meaning, especially down there. It just feels like it's kind of grown stagnant there. I'd also love to see Denver go a little bit all in, but I just don't know who the guy is for them, right? I can't, if it's not Jrue Holiday, I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I think if New Orleans was ready to move on Jrue Holiday, and again, we still have, 21 and a half hours, 22 hours?
Yeah.
I don't know what my math is here. Till the trade deadline. So far, they have not done that, Zach. New Orleans has been, unless someone absolutely blew us out of the water on Jrue Holiday, they've got him under contract beyond this season. You know, they want to keep seeing what that team looks like with Zion. You know, Denver's got the assets. They've got a surplus of talent. Now, they lost a little bit of it with the trade last night. Malik Beasley, who is a player who certainly helped them, got a pick. And, you know, Gary Harris is a player who this hasn't been his best season, but I still think Gary Harris is a really good young shooting guard in this league, and they do love him. Mike Malone and Tim Connelly really have a soft spot for him in Denver.
And the guy I think they would have gone all in for is Bradley Beal. And had Washington not signed him to that extension before the season, he would have been the belle of the ball. He would have been the word on everyone's lips. And now it waits, right?
There would have been a bidding war unlike anything we've seen in the league for Beal. And maybe that still comes again in the future. I hope and I believe with Bradley Beal, he believes in that commitment he made to DC. He wants to make it work with
the
Wizards.
Cool. That's cool.
It is. He went anti everything we've seen in the league, but the losing is frustrating.
Well, I guess it's the summer for Bradley Beal. For us, it's 21 and a half hours. Lots of stuff is going to happen. Thanks for joining us. We'll see what happens. The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.